Our gospel reading for today comes from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. Here ends the reading. Praise to you, Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Growing up in North Central North Dakota, the only mountains I saw on a daily basis were the Turtle Mountains. Since most geologists classify a mountain as a landform that rises at least 1,000 feet or more above its surrounding area, those mountains, the Turtle Mountains, would be best described as hills, since their rise was about 400 feet. In fact, I remember being told as a child that the Turtle Mountain should have been named the Turtle Hills, and that the Black Hills in South Dakota should have been named the Black Mountains. Even leaders in geography, like the United States Geological Survey, do not have an exact definition of a mountain and a hill. So it seems that some mountains can be called hills, and some hills can be called mountains. In the late 80s, when I visited Glacier National Park in Montana, I decided to drive the Going to the Sun Road to its summit. Some of you maybe have driven that road. The summit at Logan Pass has an elevation of 6,646 feet. Now those are mountains. Towering as high as the eye can see, as I drove higher and higher, the air seemed to change. It really did feel like I was closer to God. So it shouldn't surprise us that mountains are so important to the narrative of our faith. When God was ready to give the people the law, Moses climbed high up a mountain. He stayed there for 40 days close to God, literally in the presence of God. And when he climbs back down to the people, he carries with him the stone tablets, the law to which they should live by. That was all the people needed to know in faith. In our gospel lesson for today, Transfiguration of Our Lord Sunday, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we read Mark's account of Jesus' transfiguration, his mountaintop transformation. Transfiguration. Now that's a word we don't hear every day. Webster's Online Dictionary defines the word as an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change, or a change in form or appearance, a metamorphosis, if you like. We may be more familiar with that word, metamorphosis. It's the word used to describe the change a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly, or a change a tadpole goes through to become a frog. It is literally a change on the outside that comes from the inside. What a time it was for Peter, James, and John. Here they are, Jesus' inner circle of disciples, heading up a mountain with him. Picture yourself, if you would, climbing that mountain with Jesus as one of his disciples. The day is clear, and the softness of the wind is a little chilling on your face. As the beads of sweat from the climb evaporate, and as you reach the summit, a calm begins to settle in. As for why they were going up the mountain, we don't know. One of the characteristics of Mark's gospel is that he doesn't add a whole lot of detail. He tends to get right to the point of what's happening. He is giving an eyewitness account, not writing a novel. Sort of like Sergeant Joe Friday in the TV series Dragnet. He would frequently say to his female informants, "All we want to know are the facts, ma'am." So here you are with Jesus and the disciples on top of this mountain alone. And then it happens. One moment, Jesus looks like he always has looked to the disciples. The next, Jesus is transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And as this was happening, you gain a glimpse of two others. Two who mysteriously appear from out of thin air, whom you instinctively sense are the persons of Moses and Elijah. They are talking with Jesus, even though you can't hear what they are saying. But then Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. We should build three dwellings." But before anything can become of Peter's suggestion, a cloud overshadows you. This cloud moves in and blocks the sun so that the only illumination comes from the presence of Jesus. We are told that the scene before your eyes terrified the disciples. Did it terrify you? Are you wondering what to do? Whether to get up and flee or to stay in awe of the situation. Then a voice comes from the cloud. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And when you look around again, the whole scene has vanished. And you see only Jesus, no longer dazzling white, and the disciples. As quickly as the scene appeared, it was gone. And it was time to go back down the mountain. On the way down, Jesus told the disciples not to tell anyone. It was important that Peter, James, and John had that mountaintop experience. It wasn't important for them to tell anybody the story. Not yet. That wasn't the point of their outing. Were you able to picture what it was like up there with Peter, James, and John? The mountaintop experience would work on them. It would shape them, and it would continue to transform and perhaps even transfigure them. With this vision of God's reign, faith takes hold and grows. Faith is what happens when God opens our eyes and when we listen to his Son. Mountaintop experiences are not just experiences on high mountains like the one the disciples when they climbed with Jesus. They can be a time when you were invigorated by an encounter with God's Word. Perhaps at a church camp or a retreat. Or even by a sermon that moved you to go deeper in your faith. It could be a time when you were overwhelmed by the experience of the presence of God in your life. These experiences can be powerful and may be short-lived, but in them, faith takes hold and grows. There are two phrases from the gospel text that I would like to spend a little more time looking at today. The first phrase is Peter's words. It is good for us to be here. These words of Peter may have been spoken more out of being afraid and needing something to say, but there is a truth in them. It was good for them to be there. It was in this mountaintop experience that they saw the glory of Jesus. It was here they met with the cloud of God himself and heard him speak. This experience would be engraved in their memories forever. They would look back on it throughout their lives as one of the most transforming moments of their lives, a moment where they felt a change on the outside that comes from the inside. Years later, John would write about this experience in 1 John 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And Peter, some 30 years after the event, would write in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have been witnesses of his majesty. For he revealed honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from the heavens while we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter, James, and John's lives would never be the same. And just as the disciples' experience of God would keep them going when they were not on the mountaintop, we too know God's presence and glory with us as we look around and see him active in our lives and in the lives of others. We too may have a transforming moment in our lives, a moment when we felt a change on the outside that comes from the inside. A moment that will be engraved in our memories forever. Can you picture that moment for yourself? God is still active in his world, and we encounter him from time to time in moments of revelation and of faith. We see the wonder of God around us daily. It comes to us through the beauty of nature, during an early morning walk, a visit with fellow Christians, and yes, sometimes on a mountaintop. The second phrase I would like to talk about is God's nine words spoken from the clouds. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Just as faith is about more than seeing, so it is also about more than speaking. Remember the old cliche, God gave us two ears and only one mouth. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. As God speaks, he is offering an invitation to examine at the very core how we relate to God, not primarily by speaking, but by listening. This comes down to how we exercise our faith. Just as much of faith is believing without seeing, so is living in the life of faith about taking time to listen. And in this phrase, God tells who we should listen to. Listen to my beloved Son, Jesus. A school music teacher asked his class the difference between listening and hearing. At first, there were no response. Finally, a hand went up and a youngster offered this wise definition. Listening is wanting to hear. As Christians, we believe the Spirit of God is always speaking to us. The key is that we must want to hear him. Transfiguration is an invitation to go up the mountain and spend time with Jesus, searching and seeking, discerning, hearing, and heeding. But transfiguration is just as much an invitation to go down the mountain and listen for Jesus in the valleys, in the turbulence of everyday life. It is in the valleys where we hear the voice of God's Son. We hear it when we read the scriptures. We hear it when we spend time in fellowship with fellow Christians. We hear it when we commune with our Lord and Savior. It is in the valleys where Christ wants us to be, living, working, helping, and loving. It is in the valleys where God wants us to be listening to Jesus Christ and hearing his words of salvation and forgiveness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, we recall how Peter, James, and John were given a glimpse of your Son's divine glory. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, increase our faith in the future glory that we share with him as a result of our faith and baptism into his death and resurrection, that we might live our lives reflecting your redeeming grace to those around us. This we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen. We continue with our next hymn number 651.